All in online on the hook. We continue our series on online gambling. Michiganders are on pace to gamble $7.5 billion on their phones and laptops this year. And since Michigan legalized online casino games and sports betting in 2021, the state reports the calls to Michigan gambling helplines have more than tripled. And most of the people who are calling are men, young men. So what's it like to have an online gambling addiction? Our next guest knows firsthand. Sam DiMello, welcome. We're so glad you could tell us your story today.
Thanks for having me.
To set this up just a little bit, you are 38 and you work in the technology industry. So why don't you tell us about your addiction to gambling and online gambling? How did it start?
Yeah, so I was the classic age in the United States for the poker boom of the early 2000s. I started gambling at age 12 after I saw Chris Moneymaker win the World Series of Poker on ESPN. It was the first thing that I was ever good at that was cool, you know, in the eyes of my friends. And so I started gambling, playing poker at home games at my house and with friends. When I got to college, I started gambling in the local, you know, native casino that was about 45 minutes away from my college. Throughout all of this time, you know, big warning signs that gambling was going to be a problem for me. I had a hard time setting a limit on the amount of money that I would spend when I was gambling. I had a hard time, you know, setting a limit on the time that I would devote to gambling. But I didn't understand what gambling addiction was. You know, the way that I conceptualized it was, if I'm winning money, that's good. And if I'm losing money, that's bad. And if I lose so much money that I go into debt, that's when things really become a problem. The whole idea of gambling harm, or, you know, the idea that you could get addicted to it, that it could hurt your relationships, that it could hurt your mental health, that it could distract you from things like school, never even entered into the equation for me. So I gambled with these warning signs, you know, all through college, and I graduated. But in retrospect, lost a huge amount of time and opportunity cost, where instead of taking advantage of the opportunity of college, you know, I was spending my time in a smoky casino.
Let me stop you for 1 minute. Where were you getting your money to gamble? I mean, as a 12-year-old, certainly, but even in college.
Yeah. I mean, when I started gambling, it was 10 or 20 bucks sitting around the table. You know, the way that my parents thought about it was, yeah, you know, he's gambling, but he's not out on the street drinking or smoking pot.
So your parents knew about this. Your parents knew about it.
Absolutely. They bought me a poker table for my 15th birthday. I think they saw it as a very, you know, wholesome activity. We were playing cards. And in college, you know, I was playing with money that I had, you know, made working on campus. You know, more of my time went to making that money and then losing it in the casino.
Was there ever a time where the flag went up and said, wow, you're really in trouble?
Yeah, I think during this time, there were many trips to the casino where I would tell myself, you know, I'm only going to spend $100 today, and then I would lose that, and I would go and take another $100 out of the ATM, and then another $100 until, you know, I couldn't withdraw anymore. And then I would borrow money from friends. And, you know, it was very much the same thing I felt when I drank a little too much. You know, oh man, I didn't intend to get this drunk, and now I am. I think the big difference for me there is when I had a negative experience like that with gambling, I just had to stay out of the casino for a few weeks until I recovered my money. And there was this physical barrier between me and my ability to gamble. When I graduated from college, I moved back home and, you know, I was looking for a way to reconnect with my friends who were very much into sports, more so than me. And I started gambling on sports. I placed my first bet for $5 or $10 on the Golden State Warriors with, you know, my friends in a bar. And it was the first time that I really felt that kind of connection and being one of the guys sitting around watching a sports game. But very quickly for me, in the course of, you know, a few months, I went from $5 or $10 on, a game that I was watching socially, to gambling by myself on my phone, on games and sports that, I wasn't even watching or knowledgeable about. And unlike my experience playing poker, there was no physical barrier. I could gamble 24 hours a day. I could gamble secretly. I could gamble when I was on the bus, when I was at home, when I was at work. And I did, I would say about 6 months after placing my first sports wager, I was, running my life around which games were televised and how I could stay in action. And all of this for me was, I didn't think about it in a negative way, right? I thought of this still as just a financial problem. And I had started my career. I was working in the tech industry. I was making good money. And so as I kept making more money, I would use my disposable income towards gambling. And I thought, it doesn't matter if I'm gambling or traveling or going out with friends. This is my disposable income and this is my leisure activity. Well, pretty soon, it became $200 a week, and then $500 a week, and then $1,000 a week. And as I kept gambling, I kept losing because, no matter how much I won, I would always gamble with it again until I would lose. And I started to feel really bad about what was happening. I started to realize, man, this isn't something that I'm doing because I enjoy it. I don't even really feel good when I'm doing this anymore. I am just compelled to do this. And as I kept losing money, I started to feel really ashamed of what I was doing. And because it was a secret for me, I started to feel really fraudulent, right? I would have this success that was external. In my career, I would get a promotion, or, in my social life, I would have a girlfriend, and my friends and my family would say, "Wow, man, you're doing great. You must be so proud." And internally, I would just feel like this huge kind of, disconnect between my outward appearance and how I felt about myself internally. I felt like, if only you understood, what I felt like.
We have just about a minute before our break here. I want to get this one last question in for you. Again, just about a minute here. Do you have other addictions, or did you grapple with other addictions?
I didn't before I started gambling, but as I continued to gamble and I continued to feel shame and feel isolated, I started to drink more. And my drinking started to become a problem. And really, that is ultimately what led people to find out that there was something going on with me. The gambling was always secret.
All right, let's leave it there. We're going to be back after the break. You've been listening to our guest, Sam DeMello, someone who grappled with online gambling addiction as well as a gambling addiction in general. Sam will stay with us for another segment here on WJR Afternoons. It's our series, All In, Online, On the Hook. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All In, Online, On the Hook, our series on online gambling in the state of Michigan continues. We've been talking this afternoon with Sam DeMello, someone who's grappled with an online gambling addiction. He's here to talk about his experience and how he got well, how he managed to overcome this addiction. Sam, you talked about the stigma, the shame, how you went from gambling, starting when you were 12, like $5, 10, $20 here and there, up to $1,000 a week gambling. What was this doing to your life in general, to your relationships?
Yeah, more than anything, it was just isolating me from everybody that I knew. It was causing me to kind of go deeper and deeper inside myself and feel less and less worthy of love and affection and, the attention of other people. I think that is the number one outcome of kind of the most devastating outcome of a gambling addiction is that level of isolation.
How did you ultimately get help?
Yeah. I first tried going to therapy, and I went to a counselor that did not specialize in gambling addiction, but just specialized in, general addiction. And I think that this is something that's really tricky because gambling is a very different, beast when it comes to addictions. They wanted to talk about my, traumatic childhood and what I must be using gambling to escape from. And as that was not my background, I'm a very privileged guy with a really supportive, family. I found that really ineffectual. And then they recommended that I go to Gamblers Anonymous, which is the most common peer support group. And I walked into my first meeting and I said, I'm Sam. I have this gambling problem. I'm gambling on my cell phone with cryptocurrency, at my tech job. And most of the people around the room were 20 or 30 years older than me, and they had been in recovery for a long time. And they were telling stories about being at the horse track in the 80s. And I felt like, man, these people don't, understand me. So I had a really hard time getting help through the kind of traditional means. Ultimately, how I got into recovery was my fiance gave me an ultimatum. We had gotten engaged. She, maybe 2 months after our engagement, she came to me and she said, "I don't know what is happening with you, but you need to tell me what's going on. 90% of the time, you're this great guy who I love, and 10% of the time, you're totally unrecognizable. Either tell me what's happening or we're not going to get married." And at that point, I made a really conscious decision. I was either going to tell this woman and quit gambling for good, and if I couldn't, if I chose the gambling over her, then I was going to take my life. I really got to that kind of point of desperation. And I got lucky. I opened up to her. It was the first time I really broke my isolation, and she was super supportive and helped me understand, the resources that were available. We started learning a lot more about gambling addiction and how it affects your brain, and how I started to see this as something that I was grappling with rather than, something that was a moral failing on my side, which I think a lot of people that struggle with gambling feel that way.
Now we talked about if I can interrupt here. We
Of course,
talked
please.
how you this was a gambling addiction. That's how it started. But what we really are focusing on here is this issue of online gambling, because since Michigan legalized online casino and sports betting in 2021, the state reports the calls to the gaming hotline have more than tripled. So, what is it about being able to gamble on your phone or laptop that accelerates the problem of gambling or problem gambling?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of things. I think the first is it's just accessible 24 hours a day. There is no barrier that you can place between you and your ability to gamble. And while you can use responsible gambling tools and you can do things like I've done, exclude myself from specific websites that I used to gamble with, there is always another casino, whether it is regulated or offshore, you are in the casino 24 hours a day. I think the second piece is that these operators, these gambling companies online, are using all of the technology that social media and other, big tech corporations use to make the gambling experience feel personal and engaging and to keep people gambling. They know everything that you are doing as a gambler. They know when to send you that bonus to re-engage you after you've lost a little too much. They know when to introduce you to a sport that maybe you've never gambled on before. So the odds are really stacked against you as the modern gambler when gambling online.
Oh, I did not know that they targeted the ads in that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the amount of data and analytics that these, companies have to really understand someone's betting behavior and their betting patterns and the time of day at which they are most likely to engage in gambling is absolutely mind-blowing.
As you know, we've only got a couple minutes left here, and I definitely want to get back to the fact that you are well now. You've done a lot of work. You are well now. And you founded an organization called Evive back in 2023. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was looking for a way to give back to the problem gambling community. I knew that there were a lot of people that were suffering from gambling addiction and gambling harm like I had been for over a decade. And just like we were talking about, I saw on the side of the gambling operators all of this technology being used to make gambling, you know, engaging and accessible. But on the public health side of things, the people that were helping folks, you know, experiencing harm from gambling, I saw this very kind of analog model of call 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a problem. And I know that myself, as a young person, I don't call anybody, right? I'm very loath to pick up the phone. So I founded Evive as a digital solution to this digital problem. We partner with states and public health organizations across the country to modernize and digitize their approach to problem gambling, try to reduce the stigma, make it easier for people to seek help and seek to understand their relationship with gambling, and then connect them with the resources and the tools that they need.
How can people find Evive?
Yeah, you can find us at getevive.com, or you can download our app for free in the United States on the iOS and Google Play stores. It's E-V-I-V-E.
Right. I was just going to spell that out for our listeners, E-V-I-V-E. So if someone you know has an issue, you can go there. And we also want to say, we've been repeating this over and over, Sam, throughout the series, and that is that most people can have fun gambling, and most people can make a few bets and have a good time and move on. But for the people who are trapped the way you were and the people that you help, it is vitally important that they get the help that they seek. Sam DeMello, thank you so much for joining us today here on WJR.
Thank you very much for having me.
And it's 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-GAMBLER. That's the state's primary problem gambling helpline if you or somebody you know needs the help. We'll be right back here on WJR Afternoons with Chris Renwick. I'm Marie Osborne sitting in.